Okay, so today is the 2nd of December 2019. The fourth day of Kislev, Tufshin Pei. We are up to Meforshim Day, the commentaries on the fifth chapter of Devarim. And Parshas Vayeschanan contains within it the Aseres HaDibros. But there is also, before we get to the Aseres HaDibros themselves, of which there is some stuff to be said, there is also, the Ramban first points out, it goes to Pasuk Hey. In Pasuk Hey, it tells us, Anochi I, Omeid Bein Hashem Uveinechem Be'esahi. I, meaning Moshe is the one speaking here. So I stood between you and Hashem at that time. Lagid Lachem is Devar Hashem, to tell you the words of Hashem, Ki Yireis Mifnei Ha'esh V'lo Alisa Bahar Limor. But you were afraid of the fire, and therefore you didn't go up on the mountain. Right? So what does Moshe say? And then it goes right in. The very next pasuk is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Zisicha. Then we enter into the Ten Commandments. So this description that Moshe is giving, is that like the positive, negative? Like what exactly is the role? Why is he saying that? So the Ramban points out Ki Hu Haya Ola Lahar, and what's the order here? Because we do know that some of the things were heard directly by Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael did hear something. But Moshe is saying this before the giving of the Ten Commandments. So is it, when Moshe is saying, I stood as the intermediary between you and God, is that referring to before the giving of the Ten Commandments, or is it referring to after the giving of the Ten Commandments? Or during, or both, or all three, or what's he describing? So the Ramban says, Ki hu haya ola lahar, v'shomei dibrei Hashem, v'yored v'omer lehem, ad shedavar Hashem yimayim pan b'fanim. That Moshe is saying, I went up to discuss with Hashem, I got all the instructions. Remember that thing about separating from your wives for 3 days before, right? Right? That came from me. Right? Remember that thing about setting up a fence around the entire mountain? Right? That came from me. So Moshe is saying, I was the intermediary until you got to the Aseres HaDibros. When we got to the Aseres HaDibros, so then you spoke, so to speak, panim keneged panim. You spoke face to face, even though that also didn't seem to work out very well or last for too long, as we'll see. V'zeh remez, so Rabban continues, v'zeh remez al kol ma sheniskar parshas b'chodesh ha-shlishi, mitchilas ko tomar l'beis Yaakov ad v'yomer elilav Hashem lichrein. And this is a reference to all that is described in the parsha of Bachodesh HaShlishi. Have you ever heard of the Parsha Bachodesh HaShlishi? Right? So we lay in Parshas Bachodesh HaShlishi every Shavuos, on the first day of Shavuos. So the Parsha begins with Bachodesh HaShlishi. Let's say it's B'nai Yisrael, Mi'ar Yisrael, right? Which is part of Parshas Yisro. That's the section in Parshas Yisro. Sorry. It's Bachodesh HaShlishi. Let's say it's B'nai Yisrael, Mi'ar Yisrael, Bayom Hazel, Ba'amid Bar Sinai. That's how it starts. So Bachodesh HaShlishi is referring to Parshas Yisro, so Shmos reading of the Ten Commandments.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What is the third Chodesh that it's referring to?
The third Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. It's the third month, but they haven't come up with those names yet. So nobody in the Midbar would have passed an 8th grade Yedios Kalios exam that Mori passed, I remember. Okay? We have to know the 12 months of the year, right? So no one in the Midbar knew what the 12 months of the year were. Like they're all Persian names, right?
I still have to ask him.
What?
I still have to ask him to remind
him. You can remind him, okay. Ki Yisrael lo hivio mipi hagvura, I'm skipping a little bit here. It says, V'anachum be'inai, continues the Ramban. He quotes the Ibn Ezra, which he thinks is problematic, but he says, Ki Yisrael lo hivinu mipi hagvura, el anochi v'lo yelecha, v'shar dibros Moshe hu hamagid lehem mashi yomer lehem. He says, also, this might be hinting to the idea that I was an intermediary, not just leading up to the Aseres HaDibros, but during the Aseres HaDibros. Because you got the first two you heard from Hashem, and then you said, that's enough, I can't take the noise anymore! Right? So Hashem, Moshe had to give over the rest of them. He says, V'atam bein Hashem uveinechem, the idea that I'm saying between me and you, ki be'es HaDibros hayahu karov el makom v'shkina yosur mehem. That he was closer to the Dibros, or the Shekhinah, more than them. Now, Moshe was not, it seems like Moshe was not up on Har Sinai during the Aseres HaDibros, despite what it might say. I'm not sure what the movie described. But Moshe was not up, rather the description was given. Moshe was like in front of the Jewish people, and they all ran away. So Moshe's like standing there, so therefore he's closer to the Shekhinah than they were. You didn't even get as close as you could have. I mean, you had permission to get close, and you did not get as close. You stayed away, kind of like the way most shuls look, right? You can sit in the front row, right? Nothing will happen to you up there, but everybody kind of stays a little bit further back. So al kein hayisim ani omei b'neichem uvim makom akavod be'emza ki rachol kai b'neichem uvanav. Because and therefore I was the one who stood between you and the place, that place of honor, in the middle, because you were going to be far away. So that's the Ramban, at least, what he is describing, what he's saying that Pasuk is describing. Either it's describing the period before the giving of the Ten Commandments, where Moshe was still the intermediary, until you got to the Aseret HaDibros, where Hashem spoke face-to-face, or it's talking about during the Aseret HaDibros, the final eight that Moshe had to give over from Hashem, and he was the one that ended up being closer, because everybody else had run away. And it could be talking about both. Both could be being referenced by that verse. Okay, so now we continue on. So the first, so the Mefarshim are a little loath to comment on the Aseret HaDibros here because they commented already earlier until things start being different than they were and stop being repeated the same thing as what they were before. So number one and number two are the same thing as it appears in Sefer in Shmos. Because those nothing changed. That was Hashem speaking. It wasn't Moshe giving it over. At least, that, and then the third one as well is the same. The third divra of Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav Kelo Yirak Hashem Es Asher Yisa Hashem Elashav, that you should not say Hashem's name in vain. So the Ramban, I thought, is the one who's talked about that. Yeah, right. V'ata yaskil b'mishna Torah yomer lehem aseres hadibros. So now we begin saying the Ten Commandments. V'lo shana, says the Ramban, v'lo bi'er klum banochi Hashem lo yelcha. He doesn't change anything, nor does he explain anything in the first two commandments. Ki mipi hagvur Hashem, was they heard that directly from Hashem. So it's interesting, right? These changes now that are taking, mean the other commandments where there are changes. So what are those? So Rashi seems to, the way the Ramban understands it is, either a be'er, either a shana or a be'er. Shana means a change, or a be'er, an explanation. So what's he doing there, right? So Moshe seems to be, I don't know, changing is the best word, maybe adapting. We'll see, maybe an example of a shana, maybe to prove a point, or a, or was the other term, or a be'er, or an explanation that perhaps it's longer. This the va'eschanan aseres hadibros are longer than the shmos aseres hadibros. Yeah?
Never thought to ask a question before, but why is there a difference and a change between earlier and now?
Yeah.
Between Yitro and
yeah, because these, I think this was, that was Moshe giving directly from Hashem, and this is Moshe's repetition. Teaching it.
Like
I don't, repetition is not a great word, because he's not repeating. He's repeating. He's
something.
What? Yeah, he's teaching it. Maybe you would say that. What? I would, yeah, I would say this is a description of him teaching it to Bnei Yisrael 40 years after they were given. Maybe that's a fair way of saying it. And might be, his, and then perhaps a subject to his interpretation. Now, you could say Moshe's interpretation is the ultimate interpretation. I mean, that it's the interpretation with a capital I, or maybe it's not, right? But I don't think we would, anyone is going to argue on Moshe Rabbeinu's shot in the Aseres HaDibros. You know,
I thought the difference, the one would come, the first one.
Ah, so we'll get to that in a second. Right, it could be that that's an exception.
Okay.
Right, it could be that that meaning if you're going to go with this idea that this is really Moshe is teaching it and perhaps adding in a few words like you know sort of like an art school Gemara does. So one would then Shomer Zachar seems to be different. Shomer Zachar seems to be something that is accepted that it was said in double speak, whatever that means. Okay, so, and then he adds in, by the Chayn Dibur Shlishi, the third one also doesn't change. Lo Tishtachav Elohem, sorry, Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, Ki Lo Yinakeh Hashem Eis Esher Yisa Shmo Lashav, that's the same way it is in the first Dibur also. So Ramban says, yeah, but that's taught someplace else. That's extrapolated, there's another mitzvah in Vayikra where it's taught there, and I explain there, and what you need to know, and that's why that's not changed either. So that then changes by the fourth Dibur, where right off the bat, Shamor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, that you're going to be Shamor. Now, Shamor means to, generally, is to watch, and Zachor is to remember. So often, Zachor is referring to the positive mitzvos, and Shamor is to the negative mitzvos. I think that's the way we normally understand it, although there is a little bit of question then within the Mefarshim. Just to repeat what we talked about last week, if Zachor comes before Shamor in the Torah, why is it that in the Lucha Dodi we say Shamor before Zachor?
Didn't rhyme.
Yes. No, not Zalman wrote it. Well, Shlomo wrote it. But Shlomo wrote it. It's therefore Shamor v'Zachor. If Zalman would have written it, then it would have been Zachor v'Shamor.
It had a rhyme.
It had to, his name is written out. If you look at the Luchadodi, so the first four verses spell out Shlomo. Take my word for it for now. You can take a look at it later. Right. If he lived in Europe, it would have been Zalman. Okay. But it was written in Tzfat, so it was written in Hebrew. Okay. It was going by his Hebrew name. So, all right. So, what do we got here with regards to the Zachor or the Shomer? So, the Rashi. So the Ramban. We'll go there, or we'll go. Yeah, I actually thought the Orach Chaim was a good way to understand it. The Ramban says. I'm sure what you do first. The Ramban. Let's do the Ramban first. You live first. So v'hidcha levar lehem shomer makom zachor. So we're going to explain shomer in the place of zachor. Al derech hapshat. V'aldas rabo seinu b'dibur echad nemru. Right. Quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says they were said at the same time. Uvir lehem ze ki heim kulam yodim zachor v'hu yodiam ki shomer nemar imo. That everybody knew zachor, and he's telling them that shomer should be with it as well. V'chein al derech emes b'dibur echad nemru. Was said at one time. Ki ha kol b'zachor v'shomer. Ki ha-Torah bris olam arucha b'chol v'shmura, v'hu ha-shomea zachor v'heim shamur. Because the Torah itself is lengthy, and everybody needs to observe it. And Moshe is the one who heard zachor, and they are the word who heard shamur. What in the world does that mean? So there is, in the art scroll, those who are using the stone chumash, so the art scroll quotes from Gedalia Shor, gives a pshat on this idea, that Moshe heard zachor, and they heard shamur. How would that be? Maybe we'll save it for Musar Day. But, can't hold back. Very quickly, Moshe heard Zachor because Zachor is contained within Shamor. If you talk about Shabbos to the regular Jew, so the first thing that they hear is the prohibitions of Shabbos. Shamor is usually referring to the negatives of Shabbos, and Zachor is the positives of Shabbos. So a regular person hears, the starting point is, these are all the things you can't do on Shabbos. And then you go ahead and do Kiddush, etc. But to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're one the same. Moshe Rabbeinu only heard Zachor, and the Malachos are demonstrations of the idea of Zachor. While we normally bifurcate it, Moshe had it all together. So Moshe heard Zachor while everyone else heard Shamor. That's what the Ramban is saying here. Okay. But the Orach Chaim adds in an interesting idea. He says, Zachor v'shamor dibur echad nemru, divreichem efshar lomar ki omru kasher tzivcha, laha'iram al shimor shenitztavu gam haleha mipi Hashem biyom hamayman. Right? So first of all, it says, the verse also says, keep the Shabbos, as I commanded you. Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem commanded you. So Rashi reads that as, it was commanded earlier because Bnei Yisrael had heard about Shabbos earlier. They had heard about Shabbos in Marah in Parshas Bishalach. And one of their stops, they were already taught about Shabbos. So keep the Shabbos, as I commanded you, referencing to a couple of chapters earlier in the book of Shmos. But the Orach Chaim says, no. That they were at the same time, but to tell you that they were actually taught together at the same time. But if so, v'yishaldas lama lo nemru sham zachor im shamor im zachor. I mean, why are we waiting? Why do we have it differently in two different places? Why don't we say shamor v'zachor es yom haShabbos l'kacho? And the other place it could say Zachor v'Shamor es Yom HaShabbos l'Kadsho. Right? Why is it in? Why do we bifurcate it and have it in two separate sections? So Orach Chaim suggests who Lishin is chaving lahafridam leval yichashvu shemaymar shamor to we separate them lest you think that the idea of shamor who alzman sheba olav maymar zachor shehu milfanav. That you might think that maybe Shamor, the prohibitions of Shabbos, are only at the times that you are observing Zachor. Meaning, while you're having your Shabbos meal, while you're making Kiddush, while you're having your Challah, then the prohibitions of Shabbos apply. But maybe the other times of Shabbos it doesn't. So therefore it says Shamor separately to tell you, no, Shamor is across the board the entire day. That there's, actually he's saying that there's two mitzvahs, one when you come in and one when you leave. I think he's mentioning both ideas. Number one is that there is that there that the mitzvah is going to mitzvah Hashem are going to be at the entire time, and also that there is a zachor in the beginning as well as at the end. And he says, "V'ulaki lo'olam lo amar Hashem el zachor." It could be maybe even Hashem only said zachor. El sha'achas nishmas michaverta le'mivinei das v'ch'amar Hashem zachor nischavin sheyiskor b'nesines das alav leval yel lo shigyon bo u'mutzah davar lamad shegam al lacharavu mitzvah. All right, I'm not sure what he's saying there. Okay, fine. Also, he adds in that if you look later on in the idea here, it says V'yom Hashvi in Pasuk Yudalad, verse 14. It says V'yom Hashvi Shas Hashem Elokecha. Don't do any work. Your children, your maidservants, your animals. That they will rest like you. And then Pasuk Tasvav 15, and you'll remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and Hashem took you out from there. Okay, so what is lacking from this Aseres HaDibros? So if we think about Zachor as appeared in the first, when it appeared the first time around, when in the other Aseres HaDibros, what's the reason given for Shabbos there? So Beth HaMedrash, this is what the rabbi says for Kiddush Shabbos morning. Why? Kisheshes Yamim, for 6 days, Asah Hashem Esa Shemayim Vesa Aris Esa Yam Nizkol Asherbam. That Hashem made the heavens, the earth, the oceans, and all that's there. So the reasons are different in both places. The first time through, in the Aseres HaDibros, it mentions, why do we keep Shabbos to remember the 6 days of creation? And this time, it's referring to, we're in Devarim now, this time it refers to, you'll remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that Hashem took you out. So why are they different in the two different places? So says the Or HaChaim, Lama hishmi tam ha-shabbos sh'amar Hashem b'dibros ha-rishon o'shu kisheshes yamim, tam zehu tam ha-mitzvah me'ikara lo tam ha-chiyuv. Because that might be the reason, but not the reason for obligation. U'moshe amar tam ha-chiyuv, emunas tam ha-mitzvah. That might be the reason for the mitzvah, but the reason for the obligation came about because Hashem took him out of Egypt. Okay, but Moshe taught them that reason, and through taking out of Egypt, they'll remember Emunah, they'll remember Hashem, and that will bring them back to the idea of taking them, the idea that Hashem created the world. So the first time through, the ultimate reason is to remember that Hashem created the world. The second time through, Moshe gives them the thing that is most accessible to them, that meaning that which Hashem took you out of Egypt. Through recognizing that Hashem took you out of Egypt, you'll remember that Hashem created the world. And that's how you'll understand the idea of Shabbos. The Shabbos has both is reflective of both ideas. Okay. There's a long Rambam here as well, but... we'll leave that for now. And take a look here also, that is an odd thing, that Moshe makes the point, Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's go back a little bit. Shamar Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem commanded you. So first, leave that out. So the Sforno says Kasher tzivcha, but also ofen shetzivcha b'mara, in the same way that you were commanded in Mara. That as you were commanded earlier, I mean the same thing. Get rid of any previous agreements, right? All other previous agreements are still binding, and this continues. So yeah, this is going to incorporate that which you were taught in Mara. Ki amnam kishet sibcha sham al hashabbos hodia shelo yaspik lo shetikatshehu b'meshet tishbus bo m'malacha aval shetasak bo b'tovar mitzvos. That's not just enough for you not to do the malacha, not to do the things prohibited to do on Shabbos. Aval shetasuk bo b'torah mitzvos, but you should be about Torah mitzvos. As we say, ve'yashrei nevtaseh ve'azanta l'mitzvosecha, you should go ahead and listen to the mitzvos as well. Fine. The Rashbam, however, adds in, no, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, kolomar kemosh mefurash hatam b'dibros harishonim. For the reasons that we gave in the first commandment, right? The Or HaChaim had said that, you know, what are we doing about putting these reasons together about the remembering Egypt versus remembering the creation of the world? And he establishes that through the creation of the world, through being taken out of Egypt, you'll remember about being about their creation of the world. Comes the Rashbam and says, no. That's when Hashem says, when Moshe says, as I commanded you in the first place, you're supposed to reflect back to the first time the mitzvah of Shabbos was given. How was it given the first time Shabbos was the first time it was given? What was the reason given there? The creation of the world. So that's already taken care of. And now as we go through it again, we're giving a second reason for the being taken out of Egypt. Taking out of Egypt is that you, the reason for keeping Shabbos, to remember that you were taken out of, the reason that you were taken out of Egypt. Right. Why also does he say, the Rashbam also adds in, that there's two mitzvos. Yeah, that there's two mitzvahs, there's two of the ten dibros. It mentions kasher tzivcha Hashem elokecha, as Hashem commanded you. Number one by Shabbos, and the second one is the next one. In dibro number five, it says kavedes avicha v'yasimecha, you should honor your father and your mother, kasher tzivcha Hashem elokecha, as Hashem commanded you. L'man yarichim yasek, you'll have a long life. So the Rashbam says, hey, that's interesting. Why, by two of the mitzvos, does Moshe say you should do this as Hashem has commanded you? Right? Why only two and not the other eight? So what's unique about those two? So it points out the Rashbam. What's unique about honoring one's parents and keeping the Shabbos? And that's different than the other eight. Do, 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 do. What are the last couple ones? Yeah. Right. Don't covet, don't steal, don't adultery, don't kidnap. What do all those have in common?
Negative.
All negatives. Right? So he suggests that these are the only two positives. Now, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is also, I guess, a positive, but that one, we're not going to change anything because that's an exact quote of the way Hashem gave it over. Right? But by the other dibros, those are all prohibitions, so it doesn't fit to say, as Hashem commanded you. Don't murder as Hashem commanded you previously. I'm not sure what exactly is his problem with that, but it just sounds a little odd. Right? Don't murder. Don't murder means don't murder. But if it's a positive injunction, so then you could say, do this. Remember, I told you before about doing this, so make sure you do this. Which we say, Aaron, we're commanding you to do. We don't see that the Torah uses the expression mitzavcha, commanded, when it comes to a negative mitzvah. Still not sure why not, but that's a pattern that the Rashbam picks up on. Okay, so Hashem only uses the term kasher tzivcha, as Hashem commanded you, or mitzavcha, that you'll be commanded with positive mitzvahs and not with negative mitzvahs. You got to keep your eye on that. What do we have in Shema? We say, right, so all of those mitzvahs are positive, right? So I guess keep that in mind. No, he's saying the term mitzavcha is used by positive mitzvahs, not by negative. That's the claim that the Rashbam makes.
You have that distinction, that change, also as you pointed to the
Ira
of your parents and
kibud
or love of your parents.
You know? We say kaved esavicha here. What?
Kaved and ira.
Yes.
It's also father.
Oh, this is the positive aspect of honoring one's parents as opposed to the negative mitzvahs there, right? There are negative aspects of parents, right? The idea of not sitting in their seat and not all the don'ts about dealing with parents. Are learned out from it's at the tip of my tongue in Vayikra to fear your mother and father, right?
Fear your mother and father, honor your father and mother.
Yes. Why would that be? Why would it switch the order?
Is there a reason?
Yeah. Okay. Because it's counterintuitive. Ruth says, "Don't forget about the other way." Depends. I think you probably tell a lot about people's relationship with their parents based on how they explain that. Right. I think, and they're explained both ways. Meaning, explained that because one is more likely to honor one's father's more, or it could be opposite. Plus, one is more likely to honor one's mother more. Therefore, the Torah had to strengthen the other way. Right, to flip it around. Right. Okay. All right. So we see lo sach mod. So we have an extra idea added on there as well. Lo tzavirachai tracher. V'lo sach mod eishes reyecha. V'lo sisaveh beis reyecha. Seteu v'yavdo v'yamasoh sh'rov v'chamro v'chol eshet reyecha. So there's an added injunction added in there. In the first time through in Shmos, it just says lo sach mod. Don't have any jealousy. The wife of your friend or any of their stuff. Here it says, don't covet the base riacha. Sorry, don't be jealous of your friend's wife. Below sasaved, don't desire any of their stuff. So first of all, it's interesting that they're separated, right? You see, there's a little samach there. Samach means that they're really separate. It's like almost a separate section. You would almost claim that there's 11 dibros given over in Vaaschanan. Lo Sachmod and Lo Sisaveh are each separate. But they are put back together. They are normally assumed to be one thing. It says the Ramban, V'hosif bir v'davar Lo Sachmod shehikti ma'isha. Why does it specifically talk about Lo Sachmod right before the woman? Bavur ki yetzer leva adam raminu rav. That person has a yetzer, a person has desires from their childhood. Be'isha yoser min hakol. More for woman than for anything else. Doc, what do you say? A person would be jealous or desire things that they don't have access to, says the Ramban. That greatest urge of jealousy would apply to women that a person can't, that a man can't get, as opposed to any other things that they get. Bruce says no question. Doc? Okay, he's in as well. So uvir ki yichanis bechal chemda afilu asayva. So then the Ramban explains that we're including chemda into taiva. Now they mean how do you one's I don't know, it's hard to translate them. How do we translate them? Chemda versus taiva. So I see here the translation is you shall not covet versus you shall not desire. Covet versus desire. So says the Ramban. That included within the prohibition is normally assumed to be chemda, coveting. That's the way it's described earlier on. So included in that, however, is desiring something. So what is that? So chemda. What's the difference? So chemda halachically, the idea of lo sachmon is normally associated with actually developing a plan to get it. That, I'm trying to get it. So it could be that you steal something. You could be in violation of chemda as well. Tisaveh sounds like, well, as the Ramban is about to explain, let's say a person wants to steal something from their friend. He can't. Because his friend is holding it from him. Or they're afraid of the law. Meaning, they might think the government is going to crack down on him. Now, if it's less than $500 and it's in Philadelphia, you don't have to worry about it, right? So, Amos Malchus, but over Belavzeh. So then you're in violation of this prohibition. So lo chemda is to actually kind of develop a plan, to actually want it, and lo tisaveh is just desiring something without actually putting in a plan. Just saying, I want to get it, but there's no point in even thinking about me getting it because there are all these guards around and I'm going to get in trouble and all those kinds of things. So even just the desirability of something, it sounds like, is included in the prohibition. Now, how does that really play out? That's a difficult question. I mean, if I see someone has a nice computer, I say, hey, I want that computer. Then just go and buy one, not... I don't want their computer, I just want one like them, right? That's not necessarily the same. If I want that thing that they have, right, that is already entering into this type of prohibition. That's what the Ramban is telling us here. Okay. Whoa, yikes, we're like really out of time here. There's one more thing. So in Pasuk Lamed, just to finish off the parak, it says, "B'chol haderech asher tziva Hashem Elokeichem eskem teileichu, all the ways Hashem commands you, you'll go." L'man tichyun. So, actually, I want to do that. Go to Pasuk Chafav. In Pasuk Chafav in 26, it says, "Mi tein v'yal levavam zelahem li'ra'u si li'shmur es kol mitzvosai kol yamim l'man yitiv lehem ulvineyam li'olam." That you'll that you should fear me and you should keep my mitzvos and be shomer my mitzvos. So the Or HaChaim says, why does it say Yira to fear me and watch my mitzvos? Aren't they the same thing, right? By fearing me, you'll do my mitzvos. So why do we need both of those lines? Says the Yerachayim, Tam shlo samach lichul hashmir b'chlal maimer liyira. Why is the idea of shmira not including the idea of yira, of fearing? Ulai, says the Yerachayim, I'm just doing this special for Bruce, ki lefi shemitzar hayira yatsa prat echad ra. Because if it's only fear, there's one thing that's going to be bad. Shezeh hayasiba sha'asu Yisrael es ha'egel. That's actually the cause behind the Chet Egel. That was the cause of the sin of the golden calf. Kisharo ki voshesh Moshe nafal lehem imaso v'fachad. That when Moshe didn't come back, there was a tremendous amount of fear. They're not going to have any access to Hashem, etc. So I'm skipping a little bit. It says, Lazet dikte kashem b'maymaro v'yamar liyira osi v'lishmar mitzvosai. Both. You're going to fear me, and you have to keep my mitzvos. So the fear of me should never come at the expense of doing mitzvos. So the part of that the Chet Egel is saying is, you know, there's fear of Hashem. Oh, what's going to be? We're going to need some kind of access. We can't have any access to Hashem. We need to have some whatever. And then the Egel starts talking as the Rachaim. Oh, that's going to be our thing. And they disregarded the mitzvah, right? There's a mitzvah that you can't bow to a golden calf, right? That part was out. They let the fear overcome the idea of shmiras mitzvahs. And that is actually, I think, a real thing in other ways as well. Oh, I can't do that. Well, who am I to do that mitzvah? But sometimes doing mitzvahs requires guts, right? You know, who am I to, you know, maybe I shouldn't go, what's a decent example of this? I shouldn't go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Korban Pesach, because there's so many details of the Korban Pesach, I'm going to get one of them wrong, right? So, Yerosi, yes, you have fear, but it's still required to go ahead and do the mitzvos as well, and overcome one's fear, and go ahead and do the mitzvos. Perhaps that's the lesson being taught by Zohar Chaim. Okay, we'll stop here, Everybody, no school this afternoon for anybody, right? Okay. Yes.